Hello, patrons. Hope you're well. Welcome to another Talking Tactics, where today I'm going to be diverting my attention away from the Euros for you and having a look at one of the Premier League's newest managers. Arne Slot has replaced Jurgen Klopp as the new Liverpool manager. We're going to have a look at his two favoured formations that he has used at Feyenoord and some of the principles behind those formations and the style with which he would like to play. Just to give you an opening summary of the sort of things that we can expect.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Now, this information that I've acquired has largely come from other content creators who have also looked at how Slot is set up at Feyenoord. Confession time, I have not had time to watch any Feyenoord games. So it does come from secondary information, but I've checked off with a lot of different sources. And I believe the favoured system is going to look like this. A 4-2-3-1. Now, don't worry too much about the personnel on screen here. I know people, I tend to look away from what's happening. Oh God, James has still got Nunes up front. Like, I have no idea at the moment if Nunes would get favoritism off of Arne Slot or not. I have a suspicion he might actually, by the way. But probably a 4-2-3-1 is going to be the most favoured system that's used. And there's a couple of players within this that I think are going to be really important to go through Slot's principles. One is goalkeeper. So Liverpool are blessed to obviously have a very good goalkeeper in Alisson. And genuinely, you can expect to see him in these positions potentially in build-up that will allow fullbacks to push on higher. What's quite interesting, despite the double pivot, which we're showing here with McAllister and Jones, actually let the build-up happen a bit deeper. And then when someone gets put into a particular side, they will draw towards the ball to help get an out. But that also means that a more direct pass can be played forward because presumably you'll have runners going with these two double pivot players. Are we going to see inverted fullbacks? Yes, we probably are. Now, I would say from what I've read and seen that Slop could do both. And from that, you can have one drop in and perhaps another part of the double pivot pushes on to more of a 10 position. Probably more likely though that we'll get one moves in. This does feel like it will be very suitable to Trent. However, when you've got inverted fullbacks, there's several different ways it can be done. One is the Ange Postecoglou absolutely rogue going to 10 positions. Or quite often, as probably first seen with, say, Alexander Zinchenko at Manchester City and then later with Arsenal, and obviously other players have done it, just sitting to form part of the double pivot. Trent does it a little bit differently, or has done so far for Liverpool, in the sense that he'll stay wide in the original build-up, and then once the ball is into certain areas, then he will drift in, or it might even be that he drifts behind the centre-back to receive the ball back to him. What's more likely to happen with Slot is we get something that's a little bit more of a half and half. Not, I wouldn't expect Trent to be ending up in these areas too much, certainly because of his offensive prowess. You can expect him in these areas on occasions, but probably more likely to be something that's just a little bit more half and half in terms of the setup. And the thinking behind this is it just gives pretty good protection if there's a turnover and you lose the ball. And it might be that you've got a line of, say, four like this that allows Liverpool to progress. They like control. They want to play out from the back. That's really clear. But then when in these areas, quite happy to punch direct balls in behind. So the horseshoe stuff that, say, Clayton speaks about a lot with Arsenal, yes, we'll get that at times with Liverpool where Salah's got the ball wide and he's going to come back inside and it's going to go back across the pitch. But actually, once they get into the final third, they want to be quite direct. Can you get a forward man in behind and hurt the opposition, which you would think might suit Mo Salah? One of the other real traits that they have is they like to really, really condense one side of the pitch. So to give you an example of that, let's say we're building down the left-hand side and they really, really will overload a particular area and might just leave one player free on the other side of the pitch. Now, this example given obviously shows Mo Salah that, and people will lick their lips and think, well, that's great. Now we can get Mo one-on-one and attack an opponent. There's a little bit of concern, though, from what I've seen with other people spoken about final, that if the right back moves inside, there will be a real, real dilemma for Mo, where he's going to be asked to keep the width quite a bit. And what's interesting with Liverpool is I don't think they've got anyone that can particularly replicate what Mo does. I mean, look, it's very difficult to replicate a player like that and what his capabilities are. But when I look through perhaps a secondary Liverpool team, as I'll show you here now, this second 11, as I said, doesn't really have a player like Mo Salah. Closest in terms of profile might be a young player, Ben Doak, who could well have gone to the European Championships with Scotland but had an injury. Liverpool are well stocked across the squad. They've got good backups. We're looking at, you know, Gomez and Konate here as backup centre-backs. Conor Bradley's obviously developed really well over this year. But a different profile player to Trent, you know, certainly wants to do that very much, but may well evolve into being something that can come into midfield as well. What this also shows you, though, is a slight variation in perhaps Slot's second favoured system. So this would be more of a 4-3-3 with one single pivot. And I think on that, with it's a single pivot, that's where perhaps we can expect to see both fullbacks potentially invert into more central areas. And the two eights will push on more into tens. As we know, so many teams want to have a line of five in the attack. So you're basically breaking the game up into two different parts. But there aren't huge disparities between Slot's 4-3-3 and 4-2-3-1. I think what we've possibly seen from the Champions League games that Feyenoord have had is a little bit of an acceptance. They might need to put an extra body in midfield when they face more difficult games and opponents. So it might be, if Liverpool's playing an Arsenal or a Manchester City, we might expect more of this 2-3 build-up. But it's not really, because, as I said, the goalkeeper is going to have a huge part to play in terms of part of the build-up. And it might be that fullbacks hold wide originally, and then once it comes to a fullback in this area, or centre-back, sorry, then a fullback such as Tsimikas here would move inside. Liverpool have good depth. I think one of the problems is, if you look at this team on paper and it's got some good names in it, Jota, Gakpo, etc., there's possibly a little bit of a disparity in terms of the quality. There are clearly some players within Liverpool's squad that you really, really wouldn't want to do without. Van Dijk, Trent, Mo Salah, all players with only 1 year left on their contract. It's possibly partly why Liverpool have been quite quiet in the transfer window so far. Sorting out the futures of these three players is probably the most important thing for Liverpool at the moment. What I've done here now is combine the two 11s together with the red designated as the first team players and the black. I believe Liverpool's away kit will be black this year. As the second choice players, and put them, I think, ideally where these players want to play. So Wataru Endo, I think, has better anchor skills than the rest of the midfield players, but Stefan Bajcetic, who's a young player who was injured a lot last season, is also a player who would like to play deep. It's difficult, right? Players like McAllister could play pretty much anywhere. But I thought this was a good exercise to do, to see where Liverpool really, really want to strengthen. I think succession planning for Van Dijk needs to begin. As said, 1 year left on his contract. This might be his last season with Liverpool. We don't know at the moment. And I think the other three centre-backs, Kwansu's developed really well. Konate and Joe Gomez would all prefer to play to the right-hand side. Obviously, Gomez, we know, can obviously cover in the full-back areas as well. Conor Bradley is a big bonus, which allows the potential, if he's potentially going to be your first-choice right-back, and I wouldn't rule it out, that Trent might become a quarterback player for Liverpool. That is a possibility. But as said earlier, I think you've got a lot of players who could fill the role on the left-hand side. I mean, even Nunes you could put out there with Diaz, Gakpo, Jota. They can all play out there. And I think they can all play through the middle as well, bar you probably wouldn't want Diaz in that central area. Harvey Elliott's a player who can play wide, but he's a good footballer. I think ideally sort of right of a midfield three is ideal for him personally, where he can open his body shape up and you can punch passes through to a Mo Salah or come and link with the play. Again, you might need to begin to start thinking succession planning for Mo Salah. And it might be that Ben Doak's possibly going to be that player. But again, you could put all these players on the right-hand side. You cannot replicate what Mo brings. So ironically, Liverpool, I think, probably want to look at succession planning for two of their strongest players, which is Van Dijk and Mo Salah. I'm pretty confident that he's aged, that Liverpool will sort out a new contract with Trent. In terms of players who may well benefit, who perhaps were overlooked as fantasy assets last year and could really become players of interest. I think Dom Szoboszlai might be the one to really keep an eye on. He could become Liverpool's number 10 and become very central and integral to things in the same way that he does for Hungary. It's also possible that Alexis McAllister might become that player as well. It's also possible that they'll both play a deeper role and someone like Diogo Jota or even perhaps a late runner such as Cody Gakpo may fill that role instead. So to repeat, basic ideas in terms of a system to understand what Arne Slot's likely to do. 4-2-3-1, we think, will probably be the most favoured system, but also we certainly could see this morph into something that is more of a 4-3-3 as well. Fullbacks can invert from both sides, but expect to see more of a lean from one side rather than the other. Why have Liverpool chosen Arne Slot? Well, one of the things I think when you look at metrics of what Slot has achieved in the Eredivisie and basic principles like working to a budget, unfortunately Liverpool fans might not want to hear that, the development of younger players and his stylistic philosophy is also quite similar to Jurgen Klopp. What I think they've done here is make a smart appointment where they're not trying to change the wheel in one go. If I'm being honest, the more I've thought about this, the more I feel like it might be Slot and then another manager. Just purely because I think Liverpool have limited the damage of transitioning from an incredible manager in Jurgen Klopp to a new manager. In appointing Slot, they've limited it as much as possible because there are many facets of Slot's play which are similar to Jurgen Klopp. They will play at a higher tempo. They will press. They do want to move a fullback inside now. They will build up from the back. They do have good technical players, but they're also not frightened to go direct. I think that the one perhaps real change from Klopp might be, as said earlier, that Slot really wants to play through the middle and get domination in central areas on occasion. Whereas I think Liverpool also always had good spatials where you'd probably want a wide player holding the touchline on either side. However, I think it's a sensible appointment. I think really importantly, when you hear him speak, I think you can tell that he can command a room. I think he's confident. I always speak about this. I think if you're going to be manager of Liverpool or Manchester United, you really need to have a big personality. And even more so in Liverpool's case, moving on from Klopp, I think Slot has that. I think he's confident. And I think Liverpool have appointed him to transition as best as possible. If you look at metrics of what Slot has done in the Eredivisie, you could quite conceivably be fooled into thinking, well, Liverpool are going to be just as strong as they were. And they may well be so. But there is no way of knowing how well his qualities will transition from the Eredivisie to the Premier League. Because although you can play through teams in the Dutch league, the quality of opponent you're facing when you try and build through central areas against a Premier League opponent and what they're going to leave against you on the counter-attack is a very, very different challenge. And you can't get away with it so much in our league as you can in others. How does it transition? The reality is we'd all be guessing. I think it's a smart appointment. I think it limits the process of change for Liverpool as best as it can. They need to sort out the contract situations for Trent, Mo Salah, and Van Dijk, and I think the club needs to think about succession planning. It will be, for me, in my opinion, a real achievement for Liverpool where they are at the moment to challenge for the title this season, but it's not to say that they can't, and I think we all look on with intrigue to what the club is going to do in the transfer window over the next 2 months before the window shuts at the end of August. But we don't think that they're going to be too busy. And Slot has shown in the past he can work on a budget. Liverpool, I don't think, are operating to some of their competitors within the Big Six of how much they're going to spend. That is all for Talking Tactics. Ciao for now.
The Fantasy Football Show.